Okay, good vach, everybody. It's a schuss to be back together. Sadly, in Chutz La'aretz, really was hoping and davening and yearning that the last share we had here a few weeks ago would be the final share in Chutz La'aretz. Baruch Hashem, it's good to be back together and to learn Torah together, to be mechazik each other. But a very beautiful share in Eretz Yisrael, which some of us were together, was incredible. I was hoping that was the beginning. Bezes Hashem of our Shiur, and Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael will be. Bekar of Mamish, Bezes Hashem. I want to thank, as always, the Shriers, Eliza, Sarit, the whole Mishpacha, for opening up their bias. And Eretz Hashem, it should only be Tzchus, a big Simcha and Bracha for the whole beautiful Mishpacha. So if the Chevra remembers, last time we were together here, we spoke a little bit about Shovavim. And how the days of Shovavim are very special days to grow, to work on ourselves, to do tshuva, for men and women alike. Shovavim, as we said, spells out the Rashi Tevos of the parshas of Shemos Ve'era Bo B'Shalach Yisro and Mishpatim. So if you were paying attention, if you went to shul today, if you paid attention to the laning, you knew the parasha at least. So we know Mishpatim was today. So we finished with Shovavim, those very special days of growth. There are some who bring down, in a leap year, there's an idea of what's called Shovavim Tat. Tat is Truma Tetzaveh. We're not going to discuss that tonight. But we did today, we were Mevarech in Chodesh Adar Rishon. And if it wasn't a leap year, we'd be really getting pumped and excited and Mamish just a couple weeks away from the Heilige Yontif of Purim. When we have a leap year, we have the Iber Shana, so we have two Adars. We have Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. I want to discuss a little bit of what this Adar Rishon is, this extra month of the year. Because in truth, this Adar Rishon, I believe, is also a very, very special time for tshuva, for growth, to build a close relationship with Hashem. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, like, Rabbi, Rebbe, you're already trying to convince us every day in the year is a special day to get close to Hashem, right? We had all shared how Shovavim, those 6 weeks, which seemingly were mundane weeks, are all days to get close to Hashem. And you go through the Jewish calendar, right? Basically, from beginning to end, we're going to convince ourselves that they're special days to get close to Hashem and to do tshuva. Right? You start off, let's go back, start off Elul. Elul takes us into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Aseret Yemei Tshuva, which takes us into Sukkos, culminating on Simchas Torah. And then you think you have a Maariv Cheshvan, but if you read the deeper Svarim, the days of Tshuva continue until Chanukah, which we once discussed here and explained was 90 days from Rosh Hashanah, because it takes 90 days to really perfect and to show commitment to change. Tzadi is Gematria 90, right? So that's till Chanukah. So Chanukah, of course, the very holy days to get close to Hashem. We finish Chanukah right into Shovavim. Shemos ve'erbo b'shalach yisro mishpatim. So you thought, okay, cool, chill. Now I can chill a little bit, you know. We have a little bit of a break. Adar Rishon, it's nice, nothing much going on. Now we're going to hear Adar Rishon. It's also time for tshuva. And then you finish Adar Rishon straight into Purim. And then you're getting ready for Pesach already. And then Pesach takes us into Sfiras HaOmer, which are obviously very big days of growth to prepare for Kabbalah HaTorah. Then it's Shavuos. Shavuos is over, we're already, it's before you know it, the 3 weeks, Tisha B'Av, right back to Elul again. It's Mamish, if you go through the Jewish calendar, if we understand these deeper days, just to Shovavim and Adar Rishon, so the whole Jewish calendar are very special days to grow. The Teretz is yes. The Teretz is yes. That we're always looking for inspiration, and we're always trying to figure out how we could be inspired by the Zman that we are within. And tshuva is a mitzvah for all year. Tshuva is not meant to be just for Elul and for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Tshuva, which is to improve and to grow, is for all year long. You know, there's a halacha brought down in the Gemara, as you all know, that shloshim yom kodem l'chag, 30 days before a chag, 30 days before a yontiv, we're supposed to prepare for the yontiv, prepare for the chag. Shloshim yom kodem l'chag. We find that halacha by Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, by the Shalosh Regalim. that 30 days before, 30 days prior, we're supposed to already start learning, and it makes sense. We need days to prepare. You can't just, you're gonna, what, you think you can just walk into Pesach? I mean, in this day and age, I guess if you open up any of the papers, if you're going away on a Pesach program, I guess you could just walk into Pesach on some level. But I don't know if in essence that's what it's supposed to be. We have to prepare for Pesach. And even if you're going on a Pesach program, to learn the halachos, to get used to many halachos that we don't know all year long, we're not used to them, of the halachos of what we are allowed to eat, as far as chametz, as far as matzah, all the halachos of Lel Seder, to really be holding and know what we have to be mekayim. So we have to prepare. For Pesach, for Sukkot, we have to prepare. We need 30 days to prepare for these mitzvahs, these Yom Tovim that we're not used to. But what's interesting is when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we find nowhere that there's a concept of Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag in Halacha, in the Gemara. There's no preparation. Now, we do have an Elul, which is mentally and emotionally preparing for the days, but as far as learning the Halachos of the day, there's no Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why is that? Why is that? We only have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur one time a year. I think I need days to prepare and to learn. So I once saw a beautiful Yesod, a beautiful idea. In the Sefer Egyoni Halacha, I'm sure some of you have learned the Sefer Egyoni Halacha. If you haven't, it's a very beautiful Sefer to learn. There are already three volumes out, I believe. Rav Mirsky, very beautiful Torahs. And I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, it's in his first volume. So he explains so beautifully that what's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim is tshuva. Now there are a lot of methods and ways that we get there, but it's all about one thing only, tshuva. You think tshuva is for one time in the year? You think tshuva is just for Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Of course, there's a special emphasis, and it's more conducive those days when we're being judged. But a yid can and should be doing tshuva all year long. Tshuva is to return to who we are supposed to be, to grow, to work on ourselves, to become more, to be b'derech aliyah, to be b'derech aliyah. So of course we're looking always in whatever time in the year we are in, we're looking for inspiration to help us grow. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's something very, very beautiful. And therefore we understand the deeper days of Shoivim that have just ended. And we're going to understand now the deeper days of Adar Rishon, of this month that we're about to enter into, Bez Hashem Baruch, so that each and every one of us could be b'derech aliyah. You know, I often deal, Baruch Hashem, with shiduchim. And I get called about young women, about young men, asking about them and wanting to know and understand who they are. Sometimes those are difficult conversations. But when it comes to that individual, b'machshava, b'hashkafa, when it comes to that individual, when it comes to their Yerushalayim, the Avos Hashem, one of the things I always try to emphasize, and what I teach all my Talmidim and Talmidot, they should be looking for, more than where a person is holding today, but is your prospective spouse, is the young woman, is the young man, b'derech aliyah? Are they a growing individual? Are they a bar or bas aliyah? Because that's way more important to where they're holding today. Way more important. Because you're signing up and you're looking for a lifetime together. So where you are today is going to be passed within moments. Where are you going to be in a year from now, in 2 years from now, your whole life? You want to be marrying somebody, you want to be involved in a relationship with somebody that's a b'derech aliyah, that's a growing individual. You, each and every one of us, wants to be a derech aliyah. There's a story I think I've shared before, but I think about this story all the time. I read it originally in the Sefer She'ifus. It's a beautiful Sefer by Yitzchok Hershkowitz. My Rebbe, Rabbi Spiegel, his son-in-law, was Tam Chacham Goyin in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote out, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zaycher Tzadik Kar Shavracha, the Yeshiva Demir, he once went to visit his uncle's yeshiva, Rav Yaffa. And he walks into his uncle's yeshiva, he's looking around, his mamish beautiful, Bachrim growing and learning. And he asked his uncle, he says, tell me, who's the best Bachar in the yeshiva? Who's the top Talmud? So his uncle says to him, the Shiva says to him, you see Moshe over there? You never saw better Midos in your life. He'll run to do for you. As you're thinking about wanting help, he's already doing it for you. Moshe, wow. And you see over there, Yehuda? His davening, you never saw davening like this in your life. Every tefillah kavana like it's ne'ilah of Yom Kippur. Incredible! Yehuda. And you see over there, Hillel. Hillel is a masmid, mamish. He doesn't leave his gemara. He'll sit 5 hours straight. You never saw anything like it in your life. Not even pick up his head. So Chai Shalav is getting excited. It sounds, you know, those of us that care about Torah mitzvahs, when you hear about people that are so in tune to it, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. You know, it's like Lahavdil, if you're a sports fan and you're in the company of a great athlete, you know, you're in a room with Michael Jordan, you're going to get excited, right? You get excited. You're in a room with LeBron James, you're excited. Lahavdil for tomorrow, you have to, with Tom Brady, right? You know what Tom Brady is, guys, right? Okay. Anyways, usually we have shiurim. We've had in the past shiurim during the Super Bowl. I like that. We didn't even think about that this year. Okay, all right. You guys should all bez Hashem. No, I always, in the past, we've had a lot of women shiurim during the Super Bowl.
You want to have one tomorrow?
To combat. Should we have tomorrow still? I don't know. Maybe we still can. To, you know, because unfortunately, I have no problem with sports and no problem with following sports and being into sports to some degree. Obviously, if you're infatuated with it, it's a problem. But, you know, if you can have a Super Bowl and so many Yidden are watching the Super Bowl, this, you need people learning Torah. You need people to hold up. You need people to hold up the world. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, based on the Mishnah in Avos, if there's a moment without Torah being learned, the world will cease to exist. Because I'll shol shadvarim olam omeid. Somebody has to be learning. Okay, maybe, I don't know. Either we'll have shiur, if not, everybody should take upon themselves to learn during the Super Bowl a little bit. We have to hold up the world. Anyway, so if you're in the company of these people that you are into, and you think in a chashiv way, it's exciting to you. So Chaim Shlavitz is hearing about these talmidim, a tremendous davener, Baal Midos, Masmid, it's awesome. So he looks at his uncle, he says, but which one's the best? He's the best davener, which one's the best overall? And he points to another bachar, says, he's the best. Over there, you see that one? Yaakov Yisrael. He's the best. He's the best. He says, what do you mean? He's not the best davener. He's not the best learner. He's not the best Baal Midos. How's he the best? He says, he wants to be the greatest. He's working on himself every day. He has the most she'ifas. He's yearning to be more. He's the biggest Bar Aliyah. He's the best Bachar in my yeshiva. He became the Stipler Goyen. Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. He became the Stipler Goyen. Some of you maybe went to the Rebbetzin of Hashalom. We go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Chaim's father, the Stipler Goyen. He became the Stipler Goyen. Who we could become if we want to be more, if we want to grow. A lot of us had the schus to be back in Eretz Yisrael during break, during Ben Azmanim, which is tremendous, an awesome chizik. Growth is not just for Eretz Yisrael. If we think this is where we're supposed to be now, it means we believe in ourselves that we could grow here, that we could work on ourselves here, that we could reach our potential, our shleimus here as well. And we can. Of course, it's easier in Kaimishal Kedusha. I'm not saying it's not. But it doesn't mean we can't. We have to believe in that. We have to grow. We have to work on ourselves. So how are we going to work on ourselves during Adar Rishon? So let's first understand Adar Rishon, how it's such a special time. And a special time of tshuva. A special time of tshuva, a special time of growth. What is this whole concept of Adar Rishon? What is this whole concept of needing a second month every few years of Adar? Having a leap year? Adding another 13th month? In the secular calendar, we're used to it, a drop. You add one extra day every few years. Here's a whole month. So if you look all the way in Bereishit, the beginning of Chumash, a few psukim in, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tazayin. The Pasuk says, and you all know this, but a little chazar. God created the two great luminaries. Shnei Amoros Gedolim. So first he calls them these two great luminaries, in reference to the sun and the moon. But then it continues, Es Hamor HaGadol L'Mimshel Es Hayom, the great luminary to rule over the daytime, the sun. Ves Hamor HaKaton, and the small luminary, L'Mimshel Es HaLayla, to rule over the night. Ve'esakochavim, and also the stars. So we have to understand this pasuk. At first, the same within the same pasuk, we called first. It calls them both Maoros Gedolim, these great luminaries, and then it changes and calls the sun Gadol and the moon Katan. So Rashi already tells us immediately, and you all know this. Shavim Nivru. Initially, the sun and the moon were created equal. However, Vinismaata Halavana, the moon was diminished. Al Shikatraga Va'amra Efshar L'Shnei Malachim Sheishtamshu B'Keser Acha. The moon wasn't happy sharing the crown with the sun. The moon wasn't happy being this leader together with the sun and be equals. Said to Rabban Shalom, we can't have two kings. Yekadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, you can't have two kings? Okay. Shkoyach, we'll make you smaller and diminish you. And the sun will be the king, and you're just going to be Mamish's mirror image, basically. You're just going to be a small reflection of the sun. So that's why initially it was Maoros Gedolim, but then it became Amor HaKatan. So I saw from the Sefer, Rav Gedalia Shor says, the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach tells us that every Rosh Chodesh, when we bless the new month based on seeing the new moon, we bring a seir, a korban, which is a korban chatas, a sin offering. Because of that moon that messed up, because of the chait of the levana that complained and needs kapara. And because of that, it was this ma'at, as we just read, it was diminished, but it wasn't just diminished inside. It was diminished in power, as we know, it's only a reflection of the sun now. And it was diminished in its orbit. As we know, the orbit of the moon is different than the orbit of the sun, and that's why the lunar calendar that we follow is shorter than the solar calendar. The solar calendar being 365 days, and the lunar calendar 355 days, 354 days, and somewhat. And therefore, because of that mamait, the diminishing of the moon, is why every few years we end up needing a leap year. Every few years we need a leap year, because since the lunar calendar is shorter than the solar calendar, because of the chait of the levana, every few years we need to fix it. We need to be metaking. Because if not, what would happen? Our calendar would get so messed up. All the Yom Tov would be in the craziest of seasons. Pesach would be Chag Aviv, the holiday of spring. It would end up in Echvet, it's in January in the snow. So every few years we need to be metaki, we need to fix. The Ibra Shana, the leap year, as we have now, the Adar Rishon, this extra month. Listen, Chevra, unbelievable. Now we understand what it is. It's not just an extra month because it happened to be scientifically and Alpi Derech Teva, nature has it, that there's no lunar calendar, solar calendar, and we have to keep things even. No. It's kapara, it's tikkun, it's tshuva. The whole concept of the month is tshuva for the moon. That's why we need it. So now we can understand that we should be internalizing this into our life and utilizing this month to work on ourselves and to grow and to look into our lives of things that we need tikkun, that we need fixing, that we need to work on. I think there's no question. Incredible. Just think about the essence of what this month represents now. But the question is, in what area? What should we be working on? What's our avoda during these, now we understand, special days of adoration, days of tshuva, days of tikkun? What should our avoda be? So first of all, it's interesting to note. Seemingly, Chazal could have chosen any of the months of the year to have the leap year in. Right, if you're going to do it every few years, any month could have doubled up and fixed everything and put everything in the proper place. But we chose specifically Adar. We chose specifically Adar. Adar, we know, is a month. Mishenichnas Adar marbim v'simcha. And don't think there's any difference in that than Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Yes, it's true. We're only going to celebrate Purim. That Heilige Yontav in Adar Sheni. It's true. But the Gemara tells us explicitly in Megillah, Davav, Ein Bein Adar Rishon L'Adar Sheni, there is no difference between Ad Rish and Ad Sheni. Ella Kriyas Megillah Matan Slavyonim. But the mitzvahs of reading the Megillah Matan Slavyonim and goes along with that Suda and Shalchmanos, we're not going to do any of that in Ad Rish. Aber but Simcha, the Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha, doesn't say Mishenichnas Adar Sheni Marbim Simcha. It's a Gemara, by the way. That's not just, by the way, some of you might think it's only a song that we like to sing. It's not just a song. Misha Nichna, right? Misha, Misha, Misha. That's not just a song. I mean, the tune is a song. The words are from a Gemara in Tainus Dav Chav Tes. It's a Chazal. It's Torah. When we sing that song, we're singing Torah. And the Torah tells us that I'm supposed to enhance my Simcha during Adar. And that includes Adar Rishon. And if, seemingly, of all the months we chose, the month that we're doubling up is Adar, maybe we're being told by the Eibishter, you know what tshuva I want you to do during this extra month of tshuva, of tikkun? Working on our simcha sachai. Working on being besimcha. Enhancing our simcha. Those of us who were together in Etzrol, I'm sure, I hope, remember, it was only 2 weeks ago. It was a very special shir. That's what we spoke about. Because I don't think there's anything else worth speaking about. What more important than to develop and to enhance and to work on our Simchas Achayim? So of all the things I chose to speak about, the one share we're going to have in our Tzrol was going to be Simchas Achayim. And the first share we're going to have here back is going to be Simchas Achayim. Because it's the source and foundation of everything. And don't think, Rabbi, you started off that this is a month of Tshuva and a month of Tikkun. So we thought we have to do tshuva in our davening, to daven with more kavana. After tshuva in how we treat other people. After the tshuva in maybe dressing as sneezes as I could dress. I don't know, chlesnish, there's a lot of, individually, we all have areas of tshuva that we, things we think about, Rosh Hashanah Kippur. You're telling us to be besimcha, that's tshuva? Vada, that's tshuva! What does tshuva mean? Tshuva means to return to who I'm supposed to be. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants each and every one of us to be besimcha. If there's Hashem besimcha, to be besimcha. And when we're not besimcha, it's mamish, the downfall of who we are is Oivdei Hashem. If you look in Parshas Kisava, when it goes through the entire Toichacha, all the terrible curses that can befall Klal Yisrael if we're not living up to who we're supposed to be. Terrible, scary Parsha, scary stuff. Scary stuff. You know, you find at the end the reason for all that to happen? Tachas asher lo avadutas Hashem lekecha besimcha. Because you're not serving Hashem besimcha. Now, I'm not serving Hashem, you're serving Hashem. But you're not doing it, you're not besimcha, all the klalos could happen. If we're not besimcha, we're living beklalos anyways. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim besimcha. That's what we needed to do tshuva on. That's what we need to be working on. That's why specifically Adar is what's being doubled over. To tell us, a bunch of things, I want you to work on your simcha. I want you to be talking it. And even those of us, Baruch Hashem, who are besimcha, we could have more, we could all have more. We could have more. We could work on our simcha. How we're what? That walk around with a big smile on our face. To be besimcha no matter what is going on in our life. We don't understand, by the way, if we are besimcha, you know how much hashba you could have other people? Simcha is contagious. When you're besimcha, you can bring simcha to other people. It's like an incredible thing. Just by being besimcha. You know, sometimes you have friends, we all have friends, Baruch Hashem, and family members, and they're going through difficulties, and they're confiding in you and opening up to you. And you have no idea what to say. Sometimes it's a situation. Sometimes it's like a really bad situation. And there are no words. It's like they're just in a bad place. They're going through something difficult. And you're there for them. Now, just being a good listener always is helpful and is tremendous. And it's a big yisod within itself. Learning how to be a good listener. And showing that you care and to be by their side. To be by someone else's side is incredible. Never forget my Zaidi, my papi, Zatzal, he used to tell us all the time the story how he had a relationship with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Through marriage, we're related through marriage to Rav Moshe and the Feinstein Mishpacha. And one time he was driving home, Rav Moshe, Zatzal. He was driving him home late at night somewhere from a simcha, and my grandfather got a flat tire. Rav Moshe was already older. He tells Rav Moshe, stay in the car, and I'll go fix the tire. No problem. Rav Moshe and the Rebbesim were inside. And my grandfather's flitching the tire on the side of the road, and he looks up, and who's standing right next to him? Rav Moshe. He says to Rav Moshe, Rebbe, Rebbe, Meiris, I asked the Rebbe to stay in the car, like in a nice way. Like, what's? He says, no, I want to help. He says, how could you help? I'm doing it. It's a one-person job. Why? He says, I could help just by standing by your side. I could help just by standing aside. So that too, that's very important, just to be by someone's side, to listen, to know, they know that you care about them. That itself is helpful. But sometimes we have no idea what to say. We have no idea how to answer. We don't, and that's okay. Don't think you always have to say. Don't definitely, if you don't have what to say, you say it. Just be there for them. But if you're, I'll tell you something, if you're someone who's just giving over a sense of simcha zachayim and you are besimcha, that also can have an effect on somebody else and bring them to a state of simcha. It's something very, very special. So the more simcha we have, the more we can help others as well, the more we help ourselves. We have to try to be besimcha always. It's a beautiful Torah from the Katzker Rebbe. It's one of my favorite. As we enter into Adar, it's the Torah I speak, I just think about every single Adar, every single Rosh Chodesh Adar. The Gemara, that Gemara in Tainis that tells us Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, also tells us Mishenichnas Av Mematim Besimcha. That we enter into Adar, we enhance our Simcha. When we enter into Av, which we know is the saddest of months, and you have Tisha B'Av and destruction based on Migdash, Mematim Besimcha, we diminish our Simcha. The Katzker Rebbe says, you know what you learn from this Gemara? You learn from this Gemara and the comparison and contrast between Adar and Av, that every Yid should always be besimcha. That every Yid should always be besimcha. How? The Torah tells us when we enter Adar, increase your simcha. It doesn't say start being besimcha, maschilis besimcha, increase. Last time I checked, you could only increase if you already were besimcha already. Now you're just increasing. And even in Ma'av, in the saddest of months, what's the Torah say? Mematin. Decrease. Decrease doesn't mean obliterate and get rid of completely. It means I'm still, even in Av, I have simcha. I just have less, because I understand Churban Beis HaMikdash. There are times when we have less simcha. There are times when we have more simcha. But we always should be besimcha. We always should be besimcha. So how do we build this? How do we make sure to always be besimcha? Even when we're going through difficulties. Even when we're going through tragedies. Even when life becomes difficult and there are real tzaros that we deal with. Because that's the type of person I want to become. That's the person that I'm trying to become. And that's the person that we should all be trying to become during these days. That's what they're here for. Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. This year we have 2 months to work on it, Baruch Hashem. So if you look in Rashi, in that Gemara that says Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, where's the Simcha come from? It says Minisim Shel Purim Pesach, the miracles of Purim and Pesach. By the way, last time I checked, Pesach is in Nisan. That tells me this Simcha should continue. It's not just for now, it's for always. We'll get back to that another time. But the Nisim of Purim Pesach, what's Rashi teaching us? You know where our Simcha has to come from? The more we open up our eyes and see the Rabbeinu Shalom's miracles in our life, the more we realize Hashem is by our side, taking care of us always. There's Hashkacha Pratis, He cares about me, He loves me. Everything that's happening is from the Rabbeinu Shalom. How could I not be of a Simcha? Even when difficulties happen, I'm able to be makabel and accept and know that it's going to be okay. Because the Eibishter runs the Welt. Me Nisim to Purim Pesach tell me, focus on the miracles. Focus on Hashem being by our side. Daily, moment, every moment. We have to open up our eyes and see this. But we have to open up our eyes. Let me share a story that happened recently. Some of the Chevra might have heard it from her already. I don't think she's here tonight. One of the Chevra. I shared it already in one of the men's shirim, so I don't know if anyone happened to listen online to that. But this is what it's a very simple story. It wasn't, but I think it's what it's all about. And what we're trying to say for each and every one of us, to open up our eyes and start to see the Rabbeinu Shalom always in our life. And then we'll always be b'simcha. Trust, we'll always be b'simcha. You can't not. Minisim shel Purim Pesach. So I had this chus, as we said, to be in Eretz Yisrael recently. It was incredible. And the last night, Sunday night, it was not it's already going to be 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, Sunday night. This tomorrow. It's 2 weeks ago. Sunday night was my last night. Usually, in my January trip that I've been supposed to go on many years, for many years, I've always come back to Chutz Loretz, Matei Shabbos, the big Shal Shudis with all my Talmidim, is always very special, and then pretty much straight back to be back with my Mishpacha, leave them for a week. But this year, Baruch Hashem, one of my Talmidim, I'm very close to, Meir Gavriel Cohen, so he got married Sunday night. Married to Huva Ross, Baruch Hashem, now Huva Cohen. So this chutz, I extended my trip, Baruch Hashem. Never a bad thing to extend your trip in Eretz Yisrael. Extend my trip one extra day, so I could be by the chasana. Baruch Hashem, it was incredible. Everything worked out perfectly. The chasana was like literally like a half hour from the airport. It was somewhere, some kibbutz, a little bit up north after Herzliya. So it was really, really special. It was a very big schus to be zocha, to be by this chasana of such a Talmud who I love so much. There's no words, I can't explain. You know, it's like mamish being like the chasana of a child. It was incredible. It was really special. Worked out perfectly. I had a Baruch Hashem, a very close friend of mine, Beit Bat Mitzvah that night also, Jonathan Alana Austin, in Renata. Renata's like 20 minutes from where the chasana was. It was mamish perfect. I was able to go to the Bat Mitzvah also. I mean, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of everything. It was incredible. So a few of the chevra was by the chasana as well. Some of the young women were friends with the kala, were by the chasana, and were also flying back. Some on the same flight to New York, some were going straight to Miami, actually, whatever it was. There were different flights. Okay, Baruch Hashem, you go to different Mekoymas. Different Yeridas from Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's all Yeridas anyways. It is what it is. So anyway, so I gave a ride to a few of the Talmidot, a few of the young women from the Chasana to the airport. Baruch Hashem, was able to help, I had a car. So it was all good. Okay, so we get to the airport. We return the car. You take the little van to, and we get to the, you know, to the gate. Not to the gate, even prior to the chveis nish, whatever the room where you go through security and everything else. So we get right away first to the computer screens. And you're gonna go and print out your boarding pass. So I put mine and I print out my boarding pass. And one of the young women who I was taking, some of the chevra knows, I don't think she cares who it is. She has the initials YW, okay? I may have been Yavin. Anyways, Lameza. So she was one of the women I was taking with me. And she was right next to me going on the computer for her boarding pass. But she puts, you know, you put your passport and you go, nothing comes out. She tries, like, I'm already holding mine, I'm looking at her. Nothing, a few times, I take it, I try, you know, I'm like, I don't know why I would do it any different than her, but you never know, I don't know how you hold the passport, so, I go and nothing comes out. Okay, this happens sometimes, but Emma's was, I saw in her face, she started to get very nervous. Now, why was she more nervous than even normal? Because she wasn't initially supposed to be on that flight. She was supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael, a different flight, a different time, a whole different seaport, whatever, doesn't matter. And she switched, it was a late switch to be on that flight. So she thought maybe something happened, you know, and she wasn't really on the flight. And she's, you know, she wanted to get back, whatever it was, would have been not easy. I said, don't worry, I'm sure it's fine. Tried to calm her a little bit, whatever words of Nechama. So we went, and then you get online for a security check so they could ask you all the questions if anyone gave you a bomb or a gun or, you know, like anyone's going to ever answer. You know, you always think, the guy who's bringing the gun, he's going to say yes? Like, whatever. Here's what it is. Okay. Anyways, Lamaisa. So we're on the line. We go through security, and then after going through security, you're back online to check in your bags, right? So MS was, obviously, I mean, she's a wonderful young woman who I love, but we weren't officially flying together. If it wasn't that if she would have had her boarding pass, we wouldn't be going in to check in together. I wouldn't have checked in together with her. I would have left her, I think. Trust her, she's a big girl. She could do it by herself, you know. But because I saw she was nervous and because, you know, she didn't have a ticket, so I said to her, I said, you know what, I'll go, let's go together in case so I could help you out. I don't know, again, I don't know how I'd actually help her out, but maybe, again, like Rav Moshe, just by being by her side. And you know how it is, again, talk to the person. See, we get her a ticket in the last minute, whatever it is. I have a credit card on me. I'm sure she did also. Whatever, who knows? Lameisa, I said, we'll go together to check in. So we go together to check in, and we give our passports. I mean, obviously the person saw our names are different names, but They don't care. They're fine. So they go, and right away they go. I tell the woman, you know, her ticket wasn't there. There's no problem. They look in the computer. She had a ticket. It was fine. She didn't have a reserved seat because of the last minute change. So they gave her whatever seats were available. It wasn't the greatest of seats. I felt bad for her, but we tried. I tried, but there was nothing left. But it was fine. She was happy that she's on the flight. It was all good. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Matav Manayim, it's all good. So then we have to put the bags on the scale and check in the bags. So my bag, again, I mean, you guys will understand this one day, but man, we travel, what do I need? I go there to Zerol, I could have basically gone with a knapsack for the week, you know? Meaning, if it wasn't that it's Shabbos, so I need my Bakisha, and I happen to like, I don't know, I'm very particular with sleeping with a pillow, so I brought my own pillow. But outside of, you know, you need a good pillow, right? No. You know how it is with pillows? If it's too fluffy, if it's too hard, if it's a blanket, I could deal with any blanket. But a pillow, you need a good pillow to sleep. Jen, you hear what I'm saying, right? You need a good pillow. You need a good pillow. Anyways. So if it wasn't for that, like, what do I take? I take, for a week, I get 2 extra shirts, 1 extra pair of pants, and undergarments. That's it. Like, what else do I need? So my bag is like, you know, one-fifth of what you're allowed to weigh. I basically, like, throw it on the thing, and, you know, it hardly even goes up, it doesn't even register it's on the thing, it hardly even knows it's there. Okay, and it goes through, fine. Now, this young woman, I don't know what you guys pack. You guys, you go away for a week, I don't know, you need 6,000 changes of clothing, maybe. She's going out to stroll, she had to bring all her svarim with her, bought all her svarim back, I don't know. It was momish, like lifting. I mean, I'm not such a strong guy, but it was like, I could have used some help, you know what I'm saying? It was like, momish, like, it was so heavy. Hardly could get it on. I'm like, you know? And she says to me, she starts, you know, she cracks up, like, she says, don't worry, I had to pay the extra fee for overweight. I'm probably going to, I'll pay again, it's not a big deal, I understand. You know, she's telling me this. Overweight. I mean, I don't know if they have like triple overweight they charge for these bags. I don't know. You guys will explain me one time. So I put it on, and like the scale, you know, I think it stopped because it can't go any higher. You know, just you see the numbers. So the woman behind, you know, and you're hoping, you're davening like they don't look. Sometimes you're thinking they're not really looking. Sometimes, you know, I don't know. They always look. Let's be real. But you think maybe they just don't look and let it go. So the woman, momish, immediately, I was already ready to start, you know, trying to talk her through it, seeing what I could do. Before I even say a word, she looks at me, she's like, okay, we'll balance out the two and you guys are fine, don't worry, go. Now, by the way, I've gone many times before, even with my family and 2 bags from the same mishpacha, and they were makbid, like they have to go and take the bags off and move things between the two, and like you're there and everyone's waiting and you're like taking out all your underwear and putting it in. Like it's mom is crazy. Here she said no, and she knew we weren't together, let's be real. She knew we weren't really together. She said, no problem, we'll balance them out. And it saved her $100, $150, whatever it was. So later I said to her, see, do you understand? The Rabbeinu Shlomo made it that you weren't in the computer. And at that point, you were a little bit nervous and a little bit upset. But only because you weren't in the computer and you didn't have your boarding pass did we go together. We never would have gone together. I would have left you to be and trust you could do it on your own. I never would have been with you. And if I wasn't with you, you don't have there's no bags to balance out. You're paying the extra money. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo just wanted to give you a little matana and save you a little bit of money here, Baruch Hashem. Don't you see this? B'chever, it's us in our lives always. It's us in our lives always. The Rebbeinu Shalom is there for us. And every moment he's doing for us. Sometimes it's very clear. This story and it ended up being very clear. Sometimes we don't even see the end. It will be B'zman Mashiach B'yom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. We'll understand it all, that Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Vayed. We'll see, we're coming out with a song with those words. We'll send it out eventually. B'ezus Hashem. Anyways, Lamaisa, we have to believe and know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here for us and running the world. And then when we walk with that and we think like that and we talk like that, we're always going to be besimcha. We're always going to be besimcha. And we have to appreciate all Hashem does for us and appreciate the little things. Every morning I wake up, Moedani l'fanecha melechai v'kayam shechazar to be nishmasi besimcha.
You know, one time there was a person, he went to Rav Shach. He went to Rav Shach and he said, Baruch Shem Mazel Tov, I had a baby girl and I'm making a shtickle kiddush, a little kiddush. Because I had a baby girl making a little kiddush. Rav Shach looked at him and says, how long were you, this was, I think, the first child. He said, how long were you married? We've been married a little bit under a year. Oh, Baruch Hashem, beautiful. So let me ask you a question. Rav Shach says to him, if you were married for 10 years without any children, lo aleinu, and you just had your first child, you had a little girl, Baruch Hashem, a healthy girl after 10 years, would you be making a small kiddush? Would you be making a bizzle kiddush, or you'd be making mamish a kiddush kiyat hamelech, like you'd be making something? He says, "I'd be made. Wow, I'd be making such a kiddush mamish the whole bnei brak." He says, "Don't you understand? It's the same yad Hashem. So Baruch Hu saved you that you don't have to go through those 10 years of nisyonos. You know what simcha you should have right now? You're making a little kiddush. This is such a great simcha. It's such a big simcha. This is incredible." We have to appreciate our health, appreciate what Hashem does for us. And when it seems to be not so good, it's good. We just don't see it yet. You got to wait till you get to the counter to understand. And when we have that simcha zachayim with that emuna, it's a different world, it's a different life. And some of you think, okay, but Rebbe, I really do have difficulties. I really do have tzaras. I do have the people that are sick, that are not well, that I love, that I'm dealing with serious, whatever the situation might be, I really do. What do you want? Where did Rashi tell us we learned Simcha V'Adeh from? Mi Nisim Shel Purim or Pesach. Those were the specific Nisim, right? Purim. Klal Yisrael was in a state that there was a Gzeirah that was signed already by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that we were going to be annihilated and destroyed. Pesach, we were 210 years in slavery, avodas parach, backbreaking labor, with no end in sight. Purim leads to a geula of la'yudim ha'izayir v'simcha v'zazav yikar, and a kabbalah, a Torah, ba'ava, b'simcha, second kabbalah, a Torah. And eventually leads to the rebuilding of the second base, a migdash, that was allowed by Daryavesh, who's a child of Esther Amalka. That's where we went with Purim. Pesach, all those years, leads to Kabbalah HaTorah, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and eventually entering into Eretz Yisrael, and the first Beis HaMikdash. Both of those miracles of Yad Hashem were after years of difficulty, after time of difficulty at least. So the Rebbeinu Shel maybe is telling us specifically those two is where we have to look at for our Simcha Zachayim. Of course, it's easy with Simcha when things are great. Even then, we have to enhance our Simcha and realize Hashem in our life a little bit more. But we have to realize Hashem's in our life always, no matter what's going on. It's all good. Kol ma davar rachman lo tav avid. Everything Hashem does is for good. We have to believe that and have that level of Simcha. We have to just appreciate it. We all have it. We just have to appreciate it. You know, we say the famous words you all know from Perkei Avos, Ezehu Asher Sameach Bechalko. Ezehu Asher Sameach Bechalko. Who is someone rich? Someone who's Sameach Bechalko, happy with their lot. It's a very, you know, we always think about it. You ever think about that line, but? It should be Ezehu Besimcha Sameach Bechalko. Who's someone besimcha? Someone who's sameach b'chalko. Who's rich when you're sameach b'chalko? What's that have to do with being wealthy? What's that have to do with being wealthy? Because you're sameach b'chalko. You might be very poor, very impoverished. So we'll end with this. I was going to say it differently, but it's funny. I said, if you look, it's amazing. Everything's Ashkacha Pratis. I wrote this up, I don't remember if it was... It was Thursday afternoon, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So I wrote it down, story. Wanted to end with a story, but I didn't have a story yet. I was just, I finished, I figured over Shabbos, I'll find out. And things were busy over Shabbos, whatever. Nothing came, something just comes to you in your head. And then I realized, right before I'm walking to shul for Shal Shudis and for Meirav, to have the mincha earlier, And I realized, oh, I didn't have the story yet. Okay, I was thinking, nothing came to me. So I sit by Shal Shudis, and the Rebbe, Rebbe Spiegel, his son-in-law, was here for Shabbos. And he had his son-in-law speak by Shal Shudis. And this is what he said. Listen, you can't make up how Mamish Dashkocha to answer this question that I just posed to you. Ezu Asher Semech Bechelko. He says, Reb Chaim Kreisworth, Zecher Tzadik Kajl Vracha. Chaim Kreisworth was the goyin in the previous generation, the Rashiv of Merkaz HaTorah. So he was a survivor of the Holocaust, a Kaddish Dika Yid. He said when he was in Auschwitz, one day a Yid came over to him, and this Yid was a very wealthy Yid, who had much money, had tons of money in a Swiss bank account, which wasn't taken. And he came to Reb Chaim Kreisworth, he says, I feel that I'm very weak, I feel that I'm not going to make it, I feel that I don't have so much time left. But I know you're very strong and you're going to survive. And I know you're also a Bar Chacham, a very wise person, and have a very good memory. I want to give you the numbers to my Swiss bank account. I have a lot of money in there. I'm going to tell you the numbers. It's like 8 numbers to remember. I'm going to tell you the numbers. I have a son who I believe and I know is still alive. And I hope that he's going to survive as well. Please do all you can to find my son and give him the numbers. But if you find out that my son perished as well, then you could have all the money from the bank account and use it as you see fit. Chaim Kreisworth survived the Holocaust. And a little bit after the Holocaust, he was in London. A few years later. He walks into a shul in London and he sees a Yid who's laying on the benches, a homeless schlepper. Laying on the bench. And he goes over to him and says, Rabbi Yid, wanted to be nice to him, talk to him, what's your name? And he says his name and he couldn't believe his ears. It was the last name, was the name. This Yid's last name that gave him the numbers. He says, are you related to Chesnich, whatever his name was? He says, that's my father, that's my Tati. I know he perished in Auschwitz, but that's... Chaim Kreisler says, I want you to know you're a very rich man. He looks at him, I'm a rich man? I'm a beggar, I'm a schlepper, I live on the benches of the shul. What do you mean I'm a rich man? He says, these are the numbers to your father's Swiss bank account. You're a multimillionaire. And this Yid went and he was a multimillionaire. And Reb Chaim Kreisler used to say, this Yid, for years, had millions of dollars that he didn't know about. So was he rich during that time? Until he found him, was he rich? He was living as an impoverished pauper. Because he didn't know and didn't understand what he had. Imagine, La'avdil, you play the lottery, Mega Millions, and you have a lottery ticket, and you put it in a drawer somewhere, and you forget about it, and you won, but you never looked. And it sits in your drawer your whole life. Are you rich? In theory, you have all this money that's waiting for you, but if you don't know about it, if you're not aware of it, if you're not in touch, it's meaningless. You're a pauper, you're poor. Each and every one of us has so much from the Rebbeinu Shalom. We wake up every morning and we have the ability to see and the ability to hear and to speak and to think and families and friends. And if we just open up our eyes and see the daily nisim and the flois that the Rebbeinu Shalom does for us, the more we are aware, and we're then sameach bechelko, that will bring us simchas achaim, to realize all that we have, all that Hashem does for us, all that Hashem is giving us. We'll see how usher, how rich we really are, how wealthy we really are. Yes, that's when we're rich, when we recognize all that we have. And that's when we'll be besimcha. So Mir Tashem, we enter in, Bez Hashem, we're in Baruch and Chodesh, we're entering this month. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Let's do the tshuva, it's a month of tshuva for the chait of the Levana, which means it's a tshuva for each and every one of us who follows the lunar calendar as Yidden. We're compared to the Levana for another time to go there. We have to do our tshuva during this month. of growth, of never stop growing. In what area? In building Simchas HaChaim. And how? Just seeing Hashem in our life every moment. Realizing He's by my side. Realizing He's running the world. He's running my life. He's there for me. To have Simcha always. We're Zoyche to have Simcha always. We're Zoyche to all the kapara that Ron Shem wants to bring. All the Gilei Shechina. And Mezer Hashem Baruch will be Zoyche then to only see Simcha. And this is a month where Nepach, Miyagon the Simcha, will be Zoyche. That we'll only have Simcha in our lives and of Klai Yisrael to the ultimate Simcha. You know, Purim was only somewhat of a Geula. We still didn't have Beis HaMikdash yet by Purim. That's one of the reasons we don't say Halal. And the Zchus that we have, the Simcha we're supposed to have, and build that Simcha, will be Zoyche to the Geula Shleimo, B'yas Mashiach, Simcha and Brach, V'roz, B'mehera, B'yameinu. Good luck to everyone. We'll continue soon. Amir Tashem.